So I'm stoked and excited to be here this morning to talk to you about phone number management. And I'm really pleasantly surprised that you all are here after the awesome party last night. And it's the first session in the morning, and there's also some really good sessions going on. So I need to see how excited you are for listening to phone number management. So everyone, hands in the air, wake up. Yay! Awesome. So now we're awake. Great. Okay, that's okay. So when I were researching for this session, I wanted to find how they did it back in the old days. And I found this picture. So this is a picture of an old PBX with ports where users got their numbers and access to the phone system through wires in the walls. And if you take a closer look, here is the number extension for that port. And if you see a bow, here's the old number, just scratched over. That was phone number management back in the days. So while I'm passionate about how we can do it through Link, I want to share that with you today. First of all, this session is about phone number management. It's not about dial plans, PSTN usages, location-based routing, and stuff like that. It's just about how can we find a phone number that is not in use and assign it to a user. It's actually a simple idea, but I'm going to talk to you about that in 1 hour and 15 minutes. So the objectives for this session is I want to start with getting everyone up to speed on the challenge about phone number management in Link Server 2013. And I'm going to go through the tools available to do this, to assign the numbers, and also going to go through some third-party tools we can use to manage this. Then I'm going to do the second half of my presentation on how you can do this yourself using PowerShell. Sounds good? Awesome. I listed some key takeaways here as well, that number administration is an ongoing process. So keep that in mind during this session, and I will come back to that during and in the end. And also, link the ID, extensions, telephone and mobile phone are key attributes for a successful number strategy. Because it's not just the number you assign to the user in Link, but the whole number ecosystem around the user. What number does he have in Active Directory? What do they look like? Stuff like that we need to keep in mind. So keep that in mind during this session. The scope of this session is for on-premises with private cloud and dedicated cloud, and hosted Link. So not so much for Link Online yet, but maybe that will come. And not so much for our hybrid voice scenarios, because that was deprecated. It was a solution for that earlier, but it was removed from the offering. So who am I to talk about this? Well, my name is Ståle Hansen. I am a Link MVP, third year in a row, so happy about that. And I live in Oslo, in Norway. Here you see one of the most famous buildings in Norway right now is the Opera House. We are quite proud of that, won some architectural prizes and stuff. And it's right beside the Central Station in Oslo, so it's quite close. So if you are visiting Oslo sometimes, go take a look. It's a 5-minute walk. I'm also available on Twitter. My handle is at Ståle Hansen. And if you want to tweet about this session, please use my handle and the LinkConf hashtag. Anyone here heard about the UC Architects podcast? Yep, quite a few. I'm part of this group, and if you're interested in Link and Exchange and what's new, what's going on, what's working and not working, and you have some time to kill during commuting or other times, then I recommend listening to us. We are 15 MVPs and MCMs talking about Link and Exchange and stuff. I'm also available at the msunify.net blog, which is where I try to note down things I come across during my deployment days. So please take a look. I have been working with Enterprise Voice since 2008. And before that, I also worked with Live Communication Server and Office Communication Server R1. And in 2008, Office Communication Server 2007 R2 came out. And since then, we've been doing Enterprise Voice deployments. And what happened in Norway during the mid-2000s was that a lot of companies moved from their PBX over to a mobile-centric solution. So the workforce only had mobile phones. So when we came and introduced Office Communication Server and Link, we didn't have to do a PBX migration. It was quite a greenfield deployment. So it was easy to do a full-scale Enterprise Voice deployment. And that's why we in Norway have been working with this for such a long time. And during that time, I have picked up some tricks regarding phone number administration that I want to share with you today. So when I was preparing for this session, I asked the community, how do you or your customers manage phone numbers in Link deployments? And the reason for me asking this is that there is no correct answer. There is no one solution for how to do this. You need to adapt the solutions available to your user administration policy. So I asked this on the UC Architects LinkedIn group, and we did a poll. Are you interested in seeing the results? Yeah. So we see that PowerShell scripts are got 45%, and I don't think this is applicable to the global deployments out there, because I guess the members of the UC Architects podcast are a bit geeky, and of course they want to use PowerShell to do this. But we also see someone not using Active Directory. They use external databases like FIM or other stuff. And I talked to a couple of customers that are using external databases to administer their users in Active Directory. And I asked them how they wanted to do the phone number administration. And that was easy, just simple code, and they are quite good at coding and stuff. But their focus is just on the user, right? And not for all the other 8 objects in Link that has a phone number or a line URI. So what about dialing conferencing number? What about Exchange unified messaging contacts? What about analog phones? Stuff like that. So keep that in mind. And I think that Link has the complete view of what numbers are available for Link and what's in use. And integrating with that could be a good idea. Then we have other tools where some use SharePoint as a front end and let users add this themselves, or other administrators just punching in the numbers in SharePoint, and everything would get published at correct places and stuff. And then we have manually using Excel spreadsheets. And Excel spreadsheets are really good when you do an initial deployment or rollout of Enterprise Voice, because probably you have users and they have numbers you're going to port over to Link. And that's good to do in a spreadsheet. Just get the users in there, the numbers, and do an import into Link. But how do you administer this spreadsheet 1 year, 2 years, 3 years in the future? Well, that can be quite a daunting task, actually. And for understanding the challenge, I got a good reply from Sean Harry, which is a Link Pro in London, on the reply to the poll. And he asked, what number range is available? Who owns the spreadsheet? Who specifically assigns the numbers from the spreadsheet? What BIDs are available? What extensions are available? And you can't always find that in a spreadsheet. And if the spreadsheet isn't updated good enough, then, it's not real data. So where do you store it? Who manages it? If administrators move as well, who inherit the task of updating the spreadsheet? So by my experience, using spreadsheets can be actually quite time-consuming for phone number administration. And it's not something you do every day. It's not every day that users quit or move or you have new users coming in, depending on your size of your organization. So this is not something you do every day, so automating this could be a good idea. So the challenges are, customers are moving from locally managed PBXs to a global administrated link solution. And we're seeing this globally now, that link is now the primary PBX in the deployments. And it's because it's getting matured, it's up there and getting in mainstream. So now we have IT administrators administering users as they do and incorporating link administration as well, because link is more an IT product as well as a telephony product. And they don't know what the cultural differences are or the local settings are for locations around the world. And they have no experience managing phone numbers, what numbers you shouldn't apply to users and what format and such. So you have also a dynamic user population. Users move around. They leave the company, come back. And how do you manage this? So it is actually an ongoing process, managing phone numbers in Link. And how long should a number be tombstoned before it should be assigned to another user? And you need to think about what ranges shouldn't be applied and stuff like that. So there's the challenge. Some key concepts. The telephone numbering. And this slide I stole from Ken Lasko's Enterprise Voice Best Practices. And Link only works in the E164 format, which is an internationally recognized telephone number format. And that gives the plus sign, the country code, and the local number. And this format is universally accepted, and it works every time. And when a number is not in this format in Active Directory or in Link and incoming and outgoing, well, Link needs to normalize to this format. So my recommendation here is, as much as possible, work in the E164 format. Assign the users in Active Directory on the telephone and mobile phone attribute the E164 format. And then you have the RFC, 3966. This is not an exam question, though, so you don't have to remember this. But there's an RFC defining how a line URI should look like, where you have the tel column, which is the tel URI, and then you have the E164 formatted number, and then you have the extension and how the extension should look when assigning the number. And tip here is, if you have, you probably have an email signature, and if you write your number down in this format, it will be clickable to call, click to call. So Skype or Link or any other SIP-enabled device or software on your computer will then call that number when clicking on it. It's just a tip. And this is the format we assign to users in Link. So numbers in Active Directory, you need to care about those, because I have seen in deployments where several users have the same number in Active Directory, and that creates havoc when people are dialing each other and the wrong username shows up when they are calling. So phone number and mobile phone number in in Active Directory are key attributes. Let's look at how it is shown in the link client. So if you do a dropdown on the phone in link, you will see those number again. And I recommend having them in this format because the key concept with link is you are calling a person and not a number. No one remembers numbers anymore. And even, as you see here, if a user have a number on their telephone number attribute in Active Directory, they will even come over in the address book, even though they're not enabled for link, because you should be able to dial them from link. You can, of course, filter this out, but it's a good thing that you can search for any person in your company and dial them, right? So know the tools available for assigning the numbers. Last year, Brian Niss did a session on managing voice in Link Server 2013. It was, I thought it was a really good session, and he spent 3 slides on what I'm going to talk for about an hour. So I want to do a recap on some of those slides because they are still applicable. So DID, that's a direct inward dialing number. It's a globally unique number, and series or ranges or blocks are assigned to you by a telco or the PBX you are connected to. A DID allows an external user on a mobile phone or telephone to reach a link user from the public network, hence enterprise voice. So a user needs to be enabled for enterprise voice to be enabled for this. So it can be defined in 2 formats, with or without an extension. And the recommendation here is you always assign an extension for a user, even though you're not using extensions internally to dial users. And I really recommend not telling users they have an extension that they can dial, because, as I said, within link, you should call a person and not a number, right? So you shouldn't port the notion of using extensions over to link. Of course, you have some cases where you have public phones or something like that that needs to dial extensions. But in the general, users shouldn't dial extensions. So what do we need extensions for then? Well, 3 things. You can use the extension when you log into Link Phone Edition, so you don't have to type the whole number, and use a PIN code to authenticate. You can authenticate into a dial-in conferencing using your phone number or your mobile phone and authenticate and open a meeting for when dialing into dial-in conferencing. And the last one is on your dial-in PIN page. You get a warning if you don't have a extension. And that can generate unnecessary support calls. So that's why you would want to have an extension. So how do we assign this? Just to make sure we are on the same page, we do it through the Link Server Control Panel. You can do it manually. Enable the user for enterprise voice. And of course, apply the line URI with the correct format, with the extension. Then you can also do this through PowerShell, and you use the set CS user commandlet, and you enable the user with the line URI and enable him for enterprise voice. And notice how quicker it is to do it within PowerShell than through the GUI. And if you know the syntax, you have the number ready, well, PowerShell could be quite much faster than using the GUI, especially if you're going to do it for more than 3 users. So the line URI, that is stored in Active Directory as well. And that is for backward compatibility. So we can check what line URI a user have by using the getCSUser commandlet and formatting by showing the display name and the line URI, which will give us the line URI the user has. If you do a get AD user, we can find a number as well. By using the parameter properties and star, We can search for all the attributes on an object in AD and find that for MSRTC zipline, you find the same telluri, or lineuri. So this is actually stored in Active Directory. And that's for backward compatibility for OCS, that we stored everything in Active Directory. So when does a number disappear from a user? Is it when we run setCSUser, enabled to false? Let's see. Nope. The number is still there. What about if we disable the AD account? Will the number still be there? Yep. And an interesting thing about disabling the AD account, you could have users still logging into Link because the credentials are cached through the certificate that's extended by the Link server. So what about if we disable the user in Link? Will the number still be there then? Let's see. No, then it's gone. So it's an interesting concept to be aware of when a number is there or not, because I have seen in several deployments that the administrators disable the user in Active Directory without doing anything with the Link user. So they think the user is disabled and want to assign the number to another user. But the number is still there in Active Directory, and it cannot be assigned to another user. So this is important to keep in mind when creating routines, handling Link and Link users as well, that maybe you should know when a number is there and not, and how long should the number be tombstoned until you give it to a new user. So you can remove this manually, of course, just set CS user and line URI and set it to zero or dollar null. And then it will be gone. But good to be aware of, yes? So disable. Okay. So the question is if a user leaves for 6 months and come back, and how we can reassign the same number. The only way to do that, if you mark the number for not assigning to another user. So you need to create a routine actually around that. Or there are probably some third party tools that can help you with that. So all users want to show the same number when dialing out, but they have different numbers internally? Yeah. I will come back to that. Actually, I'm talking about that in a couple of slides. Yes? Of course. If you go to the control panel, instead of setting the number as I showed in the first demo, you just can go to control panel and delete the number. Yeah. So display numbers for users without the ID or users that want to show the same number when dialing out because they're part of a call center or a switchboard or any queue or response group for that matter. This is from the last year's session as well, where you have, in this example, an Exchange auto attendant, which is what you want users to reach when dialing back in. So these users needs to show the same number when dialing out. And the notion was that you gave them the same base number, the number you want them to display out, and different extensions. So when dialing out, they will display the correct number, the main switchboard number or the response group number. But when the customers dial back in, then you would do an inbound normalization for that and normalize it to the extension that you have given to the call center or the switchboard or the Exchange auto attendant. Well, there is another solution for that. You can use calling number translation rules, which is new in 2013, so not so much new anymore, where it's the same concept, and you just give a dummy number to the switchboard users or call center users and give them different extensions. So you don't give them the base number, the same base number, but any number. They could also have their own numbers and display the correct number when going out. So you create a calling number normalization rule, and you normalize that base number and ignoring extensions and normalize it to the main number. So you don't have to create inbound number translations. So I think that's a bit simpler approach, and so you don't have to manipulate incoming numbers. And yesterday I got a tip that maybe you should give those users unique numbers, not the same dummy number, to make it easier to troubleshoot the user in reports and see what user actually dialed out here. So that's just a tip. And of course, you can create this using PowerShell. So you create a rule to normalize the dummy number. The dollar, the slash S and star removes everything that's behind the number. So extension or if you have other stuff. And then we normalize or replace the entire number into the main number. So running this creates the rule. And of course, we can test this as well. So you have a test where you type in the number of one of the users. And then you create a test and want the test to normalize correctly. So you see the translated number here was the desired result. So to make sure you have typed this in correctly. Yes? Mm-hmm. Yep.
How about the federated
situation or the So in a federated, so as long as you don't go over PSTN, and I guess then you will show your SIP number or your SIP URI. So that's just SIP column and the mail address formatted link. So no numbers will be shown there. And if you have inter-trunk routing, this will apply to inter-trunk routing as well.
How about within the office?
Within the office, the... Yeah, it will show the main number. Yeah. It will show the dummy number, but it will normalize to the person's name, right? So it will normalize to the person's name. Okay, one tip about using extensions with the direct SIP trunking. Because some direct SIP trunking providers don't like extensions and you get crazy errors. So my suggestion here is to everything with a plus and any amount of digits, just remove the extension, which is this regex rule. And then we just add everything before the extension. That will give us the ability to just show the base number when dialing out and not including the extension, because that could lead into crazy issues with some SIP trunk providers. So that's just a tip. And we can test this as well, of course. And my recommendation is to, if you want to add this rule, to add it with the lowest priority. So everything else will have a higher priority than this rule. So this is for direct SIP trunking, where we are seeing that extensions can do crazy stuff. Through the GUI, of course. So, but this is level 400 session, so I want to throw it in PowerShell. It's much cooler. Third-party tools. So we have some third-party tools that can help you with this as well. You have Event Zero's Range Manager, where you can install an agent on your front-end servers, and they will monitor the usage of your numbers, and they will report on what numbers are in use, what extensions are in use, and they also do reporting on what numbers are not in use. So we assign the number to a user, but it's not in use. No one dials that number. Maybe we should save some numbers then and not assign any numbers to that user because the number is not in use. And we'll identify new ranges, and we'll give you some cool stats on your deployment in terms of numbers. Unify Square contacted me, and they said they are adding a feature for administering line URIs as well in their PowerPro suite, which is an automated link provisioning software, where they also will take care of DID assignments and reservations, tombstoning, and also local and cultural differences. So that will be really interesting to see how that pans out to help us with this. So maybe in a global deployment, maybe look at tools like this. And I also got contacted by Unimax yesterday. They also have a software for administering and assigning numbers to users. So check them out, see if that is something that can help you out. So here are some screenshots of Event Zero's Range Manager, where you have number allocations, extension number allocations, also on the usage of the numbers you have allocated. So that's quite interesting. And you get some awesome reports by location and what's the utilization of your number ranges. Maybe you should order more numbers soon and stuff like that. So there is tools for this as well. But now I'm going to focus how you can do this through PowerShell. So you can develop your own routines, incorporate them in all your own user management routines. So I want to go through some typical one-liners for PowerShell. Maybe some of you already know this, but of course, if you use the getCS user and filter on users that have a line URI, and you can sort by the line URI, so you get the output in an orderly fashion sorted on the line URI. And you display this out in the command line. You can also filter contains, in this case, tel colon and the country code. So you only want users with a specific country code and display them in the same manner. And the reason I use filter here, the parameter, instead of piping, getting all the users and piping into where object, where I can sort my output. So filter is a better solution in terms of finding the correct data as soon as possible. So you work with a small object as possible. Because if you only do get CS user and pipe it into a new object, it will take your entire deployment of users, even though they have a number or not, and pipe it into the next commandlet. And in large organizations, it could be quite intensive to do this. So that's just a tip. And remember, users can have two numbers. They can also have a private line. Right? So remember that. And you can also count users by using the .count variable, as is shown here. So I have 107 users enabled for Enterprise Voice. And then you can do the private line, of course. And the next one here is get CS80 user, checking if the account is disabled. If it is, get the line URI for the number. So here we find disabled users that have a line URI. That's quite interesting. So you can, if you also add the timestamp, you can see if your strategy is to remove the number after 6 months. Then you can check for all the users that are disabled for more than 6 months, remove the number, right? There's a quite good commandlets to work with. But remember, there is not only the user we care about here in terms of what numbers are available or what's assigned. You also have analog phones, common area phones, exchange unified messaging contacts, dialing conferencing access numbers, trusted application endpoints, and that's typical for call centers and UCMA applications. You have response groups workflows. You have meeting rooms, of course. The new link room system also can have a line URI. Don't forget. So there is a lot of numbers out there and not easy to use in one-liners. So that's why we have scripts. So there's a script to find the numbers already assigned in the entire deployment. It's created by Lasse Nordvik Vedø, and it's called Get Assigned Line URI. So it's just a script to find all the numbers and dump them into the command prompt or into an HTML file or into grid view. So usually I just look at the main body of the script and highlight the example he has in his body. So first of all, I want to show you the first commandlet where you can get a summary in command line. So here I have 107 users enabled for link, and then I get details on all the other objects as well. Cool? Yeah. So next is dumping into HTML, and this is useful for offline reporting or if you want to port it in or update a internal intranet site or external site. So here we have using the parameter HTML, and you open the file and get the entire deployment view available offline. So, and you can distribute this to other people and copy this into an Excel spreadsheet if you want to. And of course, it lists all the other objects as well. Since this is a lab environment, I don't have much deployed, but you get the picture. But useful for you guys, the link pros, is the grid view. Because in the grid view, you get just a pop-up of the grid, and you can easily sort by all the parameters. So in this case, I'm sorting for the private line. And I get all the users with the private line. And it's useful when troubleshooting, and you don't know what user has, what number, is that number really assigned, and stuff like that. And also, you can search for specific numbers or whatever and find what user has what number. Cool? So I find this specifically useful, the grid view. Then you have search line URI, which is another script he has created. And the search line URI lets you just search for any number, not just for the users in the organization, but for all entities and objects that has a number. So now you know what user has this number. And you can also output to grid view and other views as well. So here I find all the users with that's contain 20 in their number. So yeah, it helps the IT pro to troubleshoot or find or report on the line URIs in an enterprise voice deployment. Could be useful. I have also created a script, and it's called find unassigned numbers. So the thing is, in Lync, there is no phone number management or line URI management other than assigning. But there is no way to find, okay, we know all the numbers within our deployment. You know all the numbers we have at our disposal. Then we should be able to find the next available number, right? Well, there is no such feature in Lync, so I created a script for that. So the script is built of three functions. And I use functions because then it's easier for you to reuse. And here I have the function getUnused. If I run it without a parameter, it will go through all number ranges deployed, show me how many numbers are available, and the total amount of numbers. It will show me the start and end of the number range. And if you press L for list here, it will dump all available numbers for you. So the first available number is 308. And usually I don't want to give out the first number in the number range, because sometimes that's used for other crazy stuff. Depends on your direct ship trunking provider. Or maybe you want to use it as a main number. Usually I create a separate range for for dialing conferencing and other objects. So I want to have pure ranges for users and other ranges for services. If we run this section, which is just the end of my script, you also see the get extension function, which takes the first available number provided by getUnused and puts it into the line URI. And then we find the extension by defining the extension length. And it will output the number with the extension. So let's see how that goes. So we'll find the first available number, which is 308. We put that into get extension, and we get returned the extension and the line URI with the extension. And notice here that we also found a duplicate extension. So the extension function will also loop through all the numbers in your deployment, also outside number series we are working with, and check if that extension already exists in your deployment. And then I need to load all the numbers within the organization to do that. Yes? Yeah, good question. So I was going to come back to that, so give me 1 minute. The problem with duplicate extensions is that the users need to have unique pins. And usually it's not possible to give users the same pin with the same extension. So it's not an issue per se for users. They can have the same extension with different pin codes for authentication. But of course there's a problem if you want to use extensions to dial between users. But that's not recommended, right? So you can have duplicate extensions. It will only warn you about it. And then we have the entire line URI. So how is this function built up? So this is the getUnused function. And in this current version, it is based on unassigned numbers in Lync, which you find under Enterprise Voice Management, where you assign your range into an unassigned number series. The thing about unassigned numbers in Lync is that you can make sure all incoming calls are answered by Lync, even though the number isn't assigned to a user yet. In Norway, it's important that all customers get an answer. Yeah, welcome to our company. this number is not in use, we will redirect you to the main call center queue or switchboard or the Exchange Auto Attendant for that matter. So that's important for us. But I also understand that not all companies want to answer all these calls. Depends on the size of the organization. But in my next version, I want to also have parameters with start range and end range. So you can don't have to use the unassigned number ranges. But I found it useful, since I was using them anyway, to do this. So when I specify Norway, I will use the unassigned number range I called Norway. And it will get the number series I have in Norway. And if you don't have that deployed, it will tip you how you can build an unassigned number range. Because you also need to have a response, which is Exchange Unified Messaging, or a routing to a switchboard, or just hang up. I also have a function called get all numbers in deployment, which is based on just getting all the numbers, just not for users, but for dialing conferencing and stuff like that, and adding that into an array that we can build on. And then I, of course, remove the tel colon, the RFC standard formatted number, and we also remove the extension for the first function. So the get all numbers in deployment is just a function to get all the numbers in the deployment. So it's a separate function that you can reuse for yourself in your own routine. So the get extension will take two parameters, the line URI you specify, and the extension length. Default is 4, but you can use 5 or 3 or whatever suits your needs. And of course, we get all the numbers in deployment. We remove everything before the extension, so we remove the entire base number. And then we need to loop through every number in the deployment and check if the extension we are going to assign already exists. As soon as we find one match, we will break the for each loop, which we see here, and we'll create a warning. If not, it will return the number with the extension. Cool? So the question is, can you use that in a sentence, in a real scenario? Of course I can. So in this example, I have two countries, which is Norway and Sweden. We have two organizational units called Norway and one for Sweden. And we have decided that all users in that organizational unit should be enabled for link and given a line URI. So that's unique for this deployment. So what I do is I specify the organizational units in the location variables. And then I use the getCSAD user to find all the users not enabled for link. So this is a script that can be run on a regular basis, like a scheduled task. So every time someone enables or adds a user in an Active Directory and it's not enabled for link, we will, several times a day or one time per day, enable them and give them a number in link. So we count the amount of users. We load into the users to enable variable and see that we have this amount of users to enable. And then I used the distinguished name for the user, which contains the location of the user. In this case, I'm looking for Norway. So as long as Norway is within the organizational unit or the distinguished name, I will use Norway as my number series. And I get the first number, and I get the number with extension. And then I use that in the enable CS user. And I enable the user and pipe that in to set CS user and set the line URI. At the same time here, I'm also setting the AD user and I'm setting the office phone attribute, which is the telephone attribute, in Active Directory with the same number, correctly formatted. And by this way, we can wash the list or Active Directory so it will show the correct number. So running this, just there. So I have my organizational unit, which is Norway. I get all the AD users, which is not enabled for link. And CSAD user is a link commandlet. Then I count the users I have gathered just to show I'm going to enable this amount of users. I use the distinguish name, find Norway, and then do the get unused function with the Norway parameter. I put that in the number returned, I put into get extension. And I do enable CS user. And one thing to be aware of is that you need to use the pass-through in order to pass it forward to set CS user. Because enable CS user and some other commandlets in PowerShell don't pass an object to the next commandlet. So we need to use the pass-through parameter. And then we, of course, set the user with the line URI. This is a string where we're adding the RFC formatted number, the tel colon and plus, and number with extension. And of course, enable for enterprise voice. And then we do get all the users and printing out name, telephone number, and MSRTC zip line. Because I find that get AD user is better at getting all the numbers, also mobile phones. And we do the same for Sweden. And at the end, we just print out all the users we have enabled. So running this, so we found 10 users to enable, and it goes, it's looped through. And here we found a duplicate extension. Make sure you have a unique pin. So we give a number for each user here with the correct number. Now we're over to Sweden, giving for Swedish users. And then we list the users enabled. And we have now the correct telephone number in Active Directory with the correct format. And we have the correct line URI with from the correct country. Cool? That's awesome. Yeah. So any questions? Yes, in the back. Mm-hmm.
Is it built for having the same file number
and
everyone being individual extensions, or
would
that flow
off? I'm not sure I got your question correct.
So, take, for example, Nopi has direct
dialogue. Okay, for users without
the
DID.
Yeah, the users without the DID concept, because everything goes to the audience.
Yeah. Yeah. So the question is about the get extension function and how it looks. So that function specifically will get the four last numbers and put it in the extension field. But you can use the same function with some tweaking, and you can create your own extension series, right? So you can assign those extensions to users without the DID. And then you can use the same mentality to check if that extension exists from before. So the main work here is actually checking for if the extension is already in use in your organization. So if you decide what the extension is by using the same mechanism for finding the next available line URI, then you can use that for extensions as well. But this is just a suggestion where you can tweak it and add that. But that's a good point. And maybe I will add that in a future version to the script. And I also know that the third-party tools, they do this. You can have extension ranges, and you can have number ranges from telcos. So with PowerShell, we can do anything. Anything is possible as long as we can find the information somewhere. Yes. Yes, so that was what I was trying to say. But you need to tweak the script some in some way, but the same mechanism can be used, so the same thought pattern. So yeah, maybe I can make a update to the get extension function with some parameters where you can specify the extension instead of picking it from the line URI. So you can specify the extension range, and then we can loop through and see if there is an extension used and just assign the next available extension. So the same thing can be done for extensions as well. Other questions or comments, or if you have any tips yourself? Well, yesterday I did this session as well, and some said that remember that you shouldn't give the same number, base number, to more than one user because of reporting reasons, right? It's possible to do it, but maybe it's better to give them from a dummy number range and give them a different extension and then normalize that range to the number we want to display. So if you have 10 call center users, they have a dummy number range for 10 numbers, and all those numbers normalize to this one number you want to display out. So that was one tip. Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah. Yeah, so the comment here was that there is an issue if you're in Active Directory, give several objects in Active Directory the same number. And, of course, if users administer this themselves, they find crazy ways to put it in and also crazy numbers to put in there. And the issue with that is when they are dialing each other, different users pop up and not the correct user at any least, because link users normalization to find the number in Active Directory and display the name from that. Yeah, it should be centrally managed by IT if that was your question. That's the recommendation. Users don't know how to do this. and the thing is, when you go from a PBX over to Link and use Link as your enterprise voice solution, many companies didn't care much for what was in the Active Directory phone number field and mobile number field. But for Link, it's in front of you. It's what Link uses to normalize numbers. So it should be a policy on what's in there, for sure. So I was going to go through the challenge. I think we agree now what the challenge are for phone number management. And we have looked at some tools available to do this. And you yourself can develop your own routines and use the scripts available to do this yourself. Or you can check out some third-party tools. So number administration is an ongoing process. And it's in the ongoing process the challenge lies, because the initial enablement is quite easy using Excel spreadsheets. But it's the routine of doing this correct each and every time. So I have customers calling me half a year after we did the deployment. And they say, I don't remember how we assigned the number. And I say, it's easy. You just do this and that. And yeah, it's easy for us, but you don't want the IT pro to manage do all the user enablement. You want to create some good routines around that. So link the IDs, extensions, 80 phone numbers, and mobile phone attributes are key for a successful number strategy. So don't just hang up on the linked ID. The AD attributes are important as well. So my call for action here is try out Event Zero's tool for those bigger, more global deployments. See if those can help you more, especially for extension ranges and the number ranges. And if you think you can handle this. You can adapt the PowerShell scripts shown here. They are available on linknumbers.net. All these scripts are available on linknumbers.net, which is a blog we created for this session. And we will maintain that with new tips, updates to the scripts. And we'll also test and do a review of Event Zero. We'll do a review of Unify Square when it comes out. And we'll also test those from the Unimax crew. So that's going to be exciting. Any more questions? Yes. Yes. That's locally in Link, so that will not be written back to Active Directory. So if users put in themselves a number in within Link, it's available in Link. So it will be synced when people do a subscribe to your contact card. They will get the number you put in yourself. But you can disable that using policy. So users can't do that. And maybe they shouldn't, I guess. Right? Okay. Thank you for attending my session. I hope you learned something and got some tips. So there is no solution, one solution to this. So you need to be in the correct mindset and adapt the tools available out there. Please fill out the evaluations, not for just this session, but all the sessions you were in. If you want the Link conference to be a better conference next year, more aimed at your needs, you need to give them some feedback. What works? What's not working? A lot of the sessions here this year are a result of the feedback from last year. So feedback is really important. Thank you very much.